She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minnert.
This year, they know that they have that room to breathe. It's like, okay, maybe a bad series, you can bounce back and still make it a pretty good week.
Sophia Minnert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter the ultimate baseball fan sweepstakes for your chance to win a Zoom call with a Milwaukee baseball alum. Enter at your local Century Food store by May 19th. No purchase necessary.
Lots to talk about with our friend Sophia Minnert this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Our Brewers 6-5. It's early in the season, Sophia. How should fans be reacting to last night's brouhaha with the Chicago Cubs?
I think this is what we expect, right? Like, this is, it just feels like the Brewers and the Cubs, they play this game like over and over in these series. No matter when you play them, it's just, they're always intense. It feels like September. It feels like there's a lot on the line. It always gets a little spicy, which is fun, you know, for entertainment. But this is what you expect, you know. These are always really competitive. And I think what you saw last night, it was pitching inside, mistaken for intent, and that seems to also be a common theme in this series.
Sophia, spicy is the word that my guy Aaron uses when he does the treatment on my face. He's like, it's about to get a little spicy, and that means it's going to hurt. So that's what I thought of immediately when you said that.
Sophia, has this risen to the level where each team would get a call from the league office telling them to tone it down? Because I smell trouble a-brewing between these two.
Well played there with the trouble of brewing. But I don't know if it would go to the league level at this point. You obviously did see the warnings be issued. And Craig Counsell said after the game, he said, look, like a pitch like what Ryan Tepera threw at Brandon Woodruff, you know, behind his leg, 95, a pitch like that concerns you because there is intent there. And I thought Brandon Woodruff, you know, he was really heated in the moment, but he collected himself, went out. It was a clean inning after that, and then he was out of the game. So, you know, Craig Counsell said as much, like something like that does concern you. You don't have a problem with the competitiveness, the chippiness, right? Maybe the barking back and forth in the dugout. We've had this happen at Wrigley. This has happened last year. I mean, there's a lot of history between these two teams, but I think when you see something like what Ryan Tepera did, that's what concerns you because I don't know how you can deny intent there.
Sophia, I'm just so over guys getting upset when they get hit when there's clearly not intention behind it. Like, so many guys are just throwing the elbow pads on, and Contreras tried to lean into one last week too, but you throw the elbow pad on, some are bigger than others, guys standing on top of the plate. Like, at what point are these guys just going to realize that if you stand on top of the plate, maybe you're going to get hit and that's a part of the game?
Yeah, you would think that conclusion would be made. And look, you look at the numbers of the players in the National League who typically lead the league in hit by pitches, and it's usually Wilson Contreras and Anthony Rizzo. And that's not just the Brewers, right? I mean, that's over the course of an entire season and over the course of the league. So this isn't, I think, a one-team issue. Obviously, these teams play each other 19, 20 times a year, so there's more frequency there. But, yeah, I mean, and the Brewers have said over and over and over, like, we're not trying to hit Wilson Contreras. He stands on top of the plate. He does lean out there. They have to pitch inside. If you look at his hot zone, that's where you have success, is to pitch him inside, get him off the plate. You know, he's really good at driving the ball on the outside of the plate. So that's where you have to go to have success. And a lot of pitchers, that's where they have to go to get him off the plate. So it definitely is part of it. Like when you are standing on top of the plate like that. They've said it over and over. There's no intent there. And I think, you know, the pitch that Wilson Contreras specifically had issue with was, you know, the Devin Williams fastball that hit him in the helmet. And thank God, you know, he was fine. He was able to stay in the game. But all you had to do was see Devin's reaction on the mound to know that, you know, Devin just basically fell to the mound. It was like Devin knew in the moment, like how fortunate both he and Wilson Contreras were that there wasn't a serious injury there. That was the pitch that I think Wilson Contreras really took exception to. And I think that of all of them was the one that had absolutely no intent.
Sophia Minert joining the show as she does each and every Wednesday during the Brewer season. Okay, during the course of a year, there are going to be bumps and bruises.
Nice.
You don't have Christian to patronize Sophia. You do not have to patronize her.
Christian Yelich out yesterday with back soreness, and it does feel like some of these injuries are starting to, it is early, but starting to kind of pile up a little bit. What is the update on Christian Yelich, and are you starting to see a little bit of like where, oh, that's another injury? You know, Lorenzo Cain goes out last night. I was like, oh, that's not great for the outfield.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think it felt that way even a little bit at spring training. Fortunately for the Brewers, a lot of this has been pretty minor stuff. You know, I think Colton Wong having to go on the IL with the oblique stuff was unfortunate, obviously. But that's the nature of oblique injuries. And I think also just timing of the season, right? The fact that this is the fourth series, I think we're 11 games into it, like you said. If this was September, you know, I'm not sure you pull Lorenzo Cain in that game. Christian, you know, might be available off the bench. I don't know if he'd necessarily be ready to be in the lineup. You know, Colton's injury is probably the more serious one of all of them just because it requires IL time. And again, that was precautionary because they feel like they just want to get that injury right and put that behind him so he's good for the long haul. But you know, I think this is also part of like what we're going to see. I think you're seeing a lot of injuries across the league of as guys ramp up for 162 versus 60. And I think the Brewers feel pretty fortunate, all things considering, that this is just day-to-day type stuff and not serious long-term IL stints. So that's, I think that's encouraging.
Sophie, are the Cincinnati Reds good?
It's too early to make any evaluations on teams, I think. But the Cincinnati Reds, I think they have great offense, right? And I think the question is, do they have the pitching? You know, they obviously lost Trevor Bauer last year. So he went to the Dodgers. But, yeah, they definitely have great offense. They can score runs. They're in a ballpark that allows them to score a lot of runs. I think the biggest question that they're going to have to answer is just pitching.
Speaking of pitching, and we brought him up earlier with Devin Williams, what's going to be the timeline, do the Brewers think, for him to get him back into those high-leverage situations? Because I presume he would have been in last night instead of Brent Suter, who gave up the home run to Wilson Contreras, and having a dominant Devin Williams back in that eighth inning can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, and that's the goal, right, is everybody wants to see Devin in that role, and nobody wants to be in that role more than Devin. So I think you have to just consider the workload and the buildup for him. They took a very cautious approach with him at spring training because he was still rehabbing the shoulder. So he only made four appearances, and he didn't pitch in a game until March 20th. And we talked to pitching coach Chris Hook about this. Like, he only made four appearances. By comparison, Josh Hader made 8 or 9, right? So Hader came into the season ready to go, and Devin is still in that build-up mode. And he's been put in some tough spots, right? Like, he started on the road at Wrigley, was put in a tough spot, wasn't able to finish the inning. And I think that's just part of his build-up, right? I think it's just getting him on the mound, getting him comfortable again, the command, all of that. He just needs to feel all of that again. So he's still in the early part of that. So Craig Counsell addressed that yesterday. Like, you may not see him in those high leverage roles because they feel like they need to just get him into games more regularly, regardless of game situation. You know, you can't let the game dictate when you use Devin. So they're going to be more proactive about getting him in there regularly with the idea that then he'll be ready to go for those high leverage spots again, and hopefully soon.
Sophia, one of the storylines that's starting to emerge, and I think it was a storyline last year as well, was about how Devin Williams is impacting his pitching partners and how guys who throw with him are kind of starting to change some of their repertoire a little bit, maybe picking up some other pitches or trying to work on other pitches. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, so, you know, Brent Suter was a throwing partner last year. And so I think anytime you see a pitcher go out and see the success that Devin had with essentially one pitch with the changeup, you're like, tell me more about that, right? So, and I think for Brent Suter specifically, being his throwing partner every day, he got to see it more than anyone. So I know he spent a lot of time talking with Brent Suter about it. And look, it's not as easy as just saying, well, here's my grip and this is how I throw it, right? Like, Devin has really unique properties to that pitch in terms of how he spins the ball and how it comes out of his hand. You know, it's like Mariano Rivera, like, not everyone can throw that cutter, right? So it's not as easy as just, here's how I grip it and here's how I throw it. But I think it's like the idea behind it, execution, game situations, right? I think they're always kind of talking and picking each other's brains. And it was funny because, you know, we knew about Brent Suter last year. And then at spring training, talking to guys about what they were working on in the off season and things they were working on in spring training, almost all of them, right? So I say, I'm working on a changeup and throwing a changeup. So like you see Freddie Peralta added a changeup. JP Fireisen is adding in a changeup. Brent Suter. So there are definitely a couple of guys who are just adding that as part of their development. I think Devin gets some credit for that. But it's also just individual player development, right? Like, these guys just have to find ways to get better.
Who's Devin's partner this year?
I think it's still Suter. I think they're still together.
I love that idea. I love that people are like, hey, that's a pretty swell pitch you got there.
Right.
Tell me more about it.
Tell me more about that. Yeah. So, and again, it's not as easy as Devin just saying, here's how I throw it, and you're going to throw it just like me. I think every guy would love to do that, just like every guy would like a Corbin Burns cutter, too. But, you know, these guys, they just have, that's what makes them so good, right? They're all unique, and they have these properties that make them elite.
Sophia, do you expect there to be fireworks today at the ballpark? And I don't mean because the Brewers win. I'm not talking about the actual fireworks.
The fireworks and Bernie goes down the slide.
Yes. Ring out the barrel and all that stuff. No, out the barrel. Excuse me. No, I mean, obviously, between the Cubs and the Brewers.
You know, I think this is a credit to both teams. They typically don't let things from the night before carry over to the next day. I hope we can get through this cleanly, safely, without any shenanigans. I don't think there's any intent there. And I think even when we talked to Brandon Woodruff after the game last night, he would probably be the most heated of anyone. And he was pretty calm and pretty matter of fact. And he was able to collect himself even on the mound. So I wouldn't expect to see a carryover over to today.
All right, Sophia Minner, thanks for joining us today. Have fun at the ballpark.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.